Hey everybody, welcome back to Radio Imbibe from Imbibe Magazine. I'm Paul Clark, Imbibe's editor-in-chief, and in case all the rainbow flags and stickers popping up everywhere in sight and all over social media weren't enough to tip you off, then let me fill you in. June is Pride Month. To celebrate Pride, for this episode we're chatting with one of the leaders of the LGBTQ community in today's bar world, Houston bartender Alex Negronza. Alex was our Imbibe 75 Bartender of the Year in 2018 and an old friend of mine dating back to his days behind the bar at Liberty in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood. In addition to working as a bartender, Alex is now the president of GLASS, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance for Spirited Sipping, and an activist, advocate, and educator on LGBTQ issues in the bar world. Alex Negronza, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a pleasure to be on here.
And, you know, I wanted to talk to you because it's always great to talk to you, but also because you were our Imbibe 75 Bartender of the Year in 2018. And we like to check in from time to time with some of the bartenders we featured in the past. Now, at that time, 4 years ago, you had recently taken over the role as bar manager at Better Luck Tomorrow in Houston. But since that time, you've moved on to other things while continuing to expand the cocktail culture and the things that you've been working on in your adopted hometown of Houston. Bring us up to speed. What are you doing now? Where are you going in the months ahead?
I am currently focused on developing this nonprofit that we started called GLASS. And that's kind of my main focus. I'm taking a little bit of a break from being behind the bar and being a bar director and doing all that stuff. Just, it's safe to say that I think we're all a little exhausted after the past 2.5 years. And while I never want to hear the word pivot ever again, it's just it's a nice moment for me to take a breath and kind of just realign with some of my goals in advocacy and in this community and kind of focusing on doing some stuff that I think is more giving back to the bartending community.
Excellent. Well, before I wanted to ask you about GLASS, but before we get to that, I just want to, you know, inform our listeners a little bit. You have taken a very kind of interesting career arc over the years that has brought you to where you are now and to this pause. And, you know, you started off as in specialty coffee, moving to Seattle to pursue that. Then you merged into the craft cocktail community at places here in Seattle like Liberty. And you pursued that in Houston with Anvil and with the other places that you worked. As you have moved from one project to another and one place to another, what kinds of aspects of the job have continued to appeal to you and working within the hospitality community have continued to appeal to you and have motivated you to keep learning and improving your skills and being a part of this community?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite things to talk to people about because I've done so much, but it all just feels very right to me. And I think one of the things I tell people a lot is I am most comfortable when I'm uncomfortable, and I am uncomfortable when I'm comfortable. If you've ever met me, I'm like in real life for people who are listening, I'm big personality and I love talking with my hands and I'm walking around a room and I'm engaging people and I don't like being still, and I love projects and I love doing different things and it's like seeing what else is out there and just kind of sharpening as many knives and finding different tools to put in my belt and hospitality and bartending. And what started as me just learning about coffee and specialty coffee, you know, kind of opened up the world of other nuanced beverages and getting into bartending, which then got me into, you know, cocktail bars, which then got me into restaurants. And like, it's been so much, but I always want to do something that just feels genuine to me. Something that, you know, when I start to do something just for the paycheck, I know it's time for me to change jobs because it's not fulfilling me. And while I have found a family and I have found myself through hospitality and it's been so absolutely wonderful to me, it's always important that I'm doing something that is still fulfilling me so that it's not just my job. It's something that really resonates with me both personally and like in my heart.
And, you know, as we noted in 2018, you also participate in charity events and organizing efforts that extend far beyond the bar space. And at that time, we were talking about Hurricane Harvey and some of the recovery efforts that were taking place at the time. Right now, at the time we're talking, it's Pride Month. Happy Pride.
And,
thank you. And you've been active on this front as well, as a speaker and an organizer, an educator, an activist. Can we start with talking about GLASS, the organization that you just mentioned a moment ago? And what does it stand for and what does it mean and where are you going with this?
Yeah, absolutely. So GLASS is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance for Spirited Sipping. It was started in 2012 by Cooper Cheatham as a way to work with basically in queer advocacy for in hospitality and in beverage spaces. It's something that I remember, I mean, I was probably just getting into bartending, into cocktail bars around 2012. And I remember talking to Keith Waldar, who was my first bar mentor, and asking him, like, who are the queer people in this industry? Like, who are the gay bartenders? And you know, Alex Day came up and Cooper came up, and he told me about this wonderful club that, you know, of queer people that got together at Tales of the Cocktail and just kind of had that moment to check in with each other before we all went to our respective corners of the country and back to our bars. And it was always something that I was very fascinated about. And Cooper and I kind of talked over the years and always wanted to work together on different things. And so, you know, he handed off the reins very, very wonderfully. And we turned it into an official registered 501c3, which is very exciting. And so I never thought that the hospitality space and doing what I do would take me into advocacy for gay people behind the bar, but you can't be what you can't see. And visibility is really, really important. It's something that we see visibility in hospitality spaces. You see them in you know, concierge services and hotel management, in fine dining, in brand ambassador roles, and even bar ownership roles. But as far as queer people in cocktail bars, there's not a lot of representation. And that was always kind of very weird for me. I've been bartending for 14, 15 years now. Started out in, you know, neighborhood restaurants. And when I turned 21, you know, I was never the young gay man that was going to clubs or gay bars on Fridays and Saturdays, because I was behind the bar at Liberty. You know, that's where I felt my home was on the weekends. That's how I expressed me being gay. And while these are heteronormative spaces, I think that it's important to ask, how can we be better and how can we do some visibility stuff within the industry? It's very, very interesting. I talked about how working at Anvil, I hope Poppy doesn't mind me telling this story. Anvil got this award from a publication that was Best Straight Cocktail Bar. And I was like a trainee, but you know, I got approached by Bobby and the general manager at the time. And they were like, look, we're getting this award from this publication that's a queer publication as Best Straight Cocktail Bar. It doesn't feel right for us to accept it. Do you want to accept it on our behalf? Which is like a very weird thing to ask a trainee, but it meant a lot to me that they were recognizing that it was not for them to accept. And I kind of gave it some time. And the next day I told them, you know, no, I'm not really comfortable doing that, because like, what is a straight cocktail bar? Like, cocktail bars don't have inherently a sexual preference. They're just cocktail bars. And the idea of, you know, Anvil, if anyone's ever been, it's in the neighborhood in Houston called Montrose, which is the gay neighborhood of Houston. You know, some of Bobby's business partners are gay. I was a gay bartender at a gay bar. It's funded by gay people in a gay neighborhood. Like, why are we a straight cocktail bar? And inherently, the reason that it was a straight cocktail bar is because it was a cocktail bar. And that was always kind of bothered me. Like, why is it that you go to cocktail bars and they do feel very straight? And I find my home there. You know, I'm when I visit cities, I'm going to cocktail bars. I'm in New York right now, and that's all I'm doing. But you don't always see representation behind the bar. And that's really important. You can see people who identify as female behind a bar. You can visibly see that. You can see people of color behind a bar, but you can't necessarily see representation in the queer community behind the bar. And I don't think that we have the tools as a community to understand how to express that. I don't think we've asked ourselves that question in the cocktail industry of how can we promote visibility better. And there's so many conversations we could have about, you know, what we have done, the environments we've created, what the trends are in the industry, and how we're getting better. And we are absolutely getting better in this industry, but there's so much more that we can do. And so Glass is focused on asking the questions of like, well, what is visibility for us? Like, what do we want to look for? What matters to us? And how do we be better advocates for ourselves as professional bartenders in great cocktail bars? Because there are gay people. We are here and we are queer and we're serving you some of the best cocktails you've ever had and you don't realize it. But it means a lot to us when we are recognized as something that is so inherently part of us, which is our sexual identity. And it's like, it's something that we struggle with every single day and in representation. And so learning how to create safe spaces that are cocktail bars is really important for me right now. And I think it's a really important thing that we talk about in this industry.
And now that you are taking this pause from bartending, from working in bars and restaurants right now, to focus some attention on this organization, where do you hope to take it? What do you hope to accomplish, and what directions do you wish to go in the next couple of years?
Yeah, I think the first thing we need to do is we need to bridge the gap. You know, one of the things I kind of mentioned is that I didn't go to gay bars when I was 21 because I was behind the bar and I was bartending. And so even though I am a gay man, and even though I'm a bartender, I don't know any of the gay bartenders at gay bars in Seattle when I lived there for 7 years, or in Houston and I've been there for 8 years, which is really interesting because the gay community is such a strong community and the bartending community is such a strong community, but it's two circles of friends that don't intersect, and we don't really have this bridge to come together. And it's really important for me to start first having the conversations with gay bartenders, both at cocktail bars, at restaurant bars, in gay bars, in any type of beverage service, about bringing us together and celebrating our diversity first and foremost, but then also talking with brands and changing the narrative of how we engage the queer community. I think, you know, if I were to ask you, let's imagine what a gay bar looks like, right? I think that we could all imagine, okay, you walk in, there's probably rainbow flags everywhere. There's probably five or six different types of Absolut flavored vodka. And then there's a couple different types of Bacardi Razzmatazz and peach and dragonberry and all these things. And there's flavored spirits. And I think that we have spent a lot of time almost pigeonholing the queer community into something it's not. I mean, the other stereotype of, you know, gay couples is double income, no kids. Right? Like, we love our nice things. We love fancy things. We like great cocktails. We love good restaurants. We love dive bars. We love so many things. And our palates are so diverse. But showing brands that, like, A, advocacy isn't just during Pride Month. It's so much more than that. But that we have to celebrate all types of gay bartenders and queer bartenders, not just at queer bars. And so I think it's important that advocacy happens with, say, LGBT roles within portfolio companies and distributors. I think that's amazing. It's a step in the right direction to educating the corporate structures and the brands on how to engage better. There's so much more work to be done. And so the first thing I'm doing is just talking with people and finding out what tools are out there and what tools they think they have, and showing them how to use it better. That is going to be what we focus on first within the educational role. As far as with our community, it's going to be actually organizing us and showing spaces in a couple of different markets and testing out different types of events that aren't necessarily alcohol driven, but are driven by bringing the community together. And then the other thing that's really important that doesn't really happen too often is preserving the history of where we're at right now as far as LGBTQ representation in this industry. Because if you historically look at bars, you know, queer people have not always been welcomed in bars. And that's the same narrative for people of color and for women. And I want to start interviewing people and just getting that oral history recorded about what that story has been through being queer in this industry. And it's something that we don't necessarily have. I've had such a hard time finding stories from the past. Like, who are the, you know, surely there are gay bartenders who have bartended throughout history, but every cocktail book that we've ever seen has been, you know, written by a heterosexual white male, or so we presume, because we don't celebrate the aspect of sexuality, because we're still fighting for rights right now. We're still hiding our identities right now. So it's really important to me that we start preserving what is happening right now and where we're at, and talking to people like Cooper Cheatham and Chris Cabrera and Alex Day and Leo Robichek and all these people who have struggled through this industry and persevered, and talking about what the queer narrative has been in this industry, and making sure that we preserve that as part of our own queer history in this industry.
And, you know, in a typical year, we might be talking to you during Pride Month to celebrate the extraordinary diversity of people that populate the hospitality world, in particular the LGBTQ community. But this is not a typical year. We're seeing laws and regulations at the state and local levels that are targeted at the trans population, at the gay and lesbian population. We're seeing activity on a national level targeted at these groups. And we're seeing increased instances of violence targeted at these groups and at people who support fundamental human rights. Why is it so essential right now to engage in these kinds of conversations and this kind of support for the LGBTQ+ people in our communities?
You know, I mean, you just listed all the reasons. I mean, we're hate crimes are up. They're trending, unfortunately. And I've spent a lot of time, you know, I'm in New York right now. I'm leaving later on this afternoon. I've spent 7 days here in Pride Month. I visited Stonewall, which is, you know, where the Pride movement started, and the not just the Pride movement, LGBTQ rights began at Stonewall. And so I've really spent a lot of time soaking it in and seeing how New York is displaying rainbow flags everywhere and how it feels to me. And I've spent a lot of time being introspective about how I feel about that, because, you know, I do live in Texas, which is, you know, pretty much back and forth between Texas and Florida. It's like, hold my beer, let me do a different hate crime, or let me attack someone else's rights, between abortion rights and female reproductive rights to voting laws and to, I mean, everything is so messed up right now that, I mean, now is so important to tell people, like, it's okay. We have to band together and we have to show visibility, and it's exhausting, but we have to put the work in and we have to show people that, like, we have to take control of our lives and we can't let it be just in these politicians' hands and in people's lives that are bigots and just, I don't want to talk negative about people, and that's really not the way to advocate for yourself and to kind of bring communities together, isn't by tearing other people down, but by promoting people. And I think one of the things that's really important for me about visibility is I think that a lot of people don't necessarily know I'm gay, because I'm not a stereotype of a gay that I think most people would think of. You know, I like wearing white sneakers, black pants, and a white shirt. That's what I'm wearing right now. And that's just, I walk around and people don't necessarily see me as being gay because I just blend in. And that's just who I am. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier on, where you can see a person of color, you can see a woman, but you can't necessarily see someone's sexuality and being gay. And so it's really important for me to stand at the top of a mountain right now and yell, I'm here, I'm queer. And like we need to get together and we need to start protecting our rights and we need to fight, because if we don't fight for ourselves, it's not going to be anyone else fighting for us. And so it's really important to have, I mean, not just platforms like this to talk about being gay in this industry, but also to have a nonprofit that says, like, hey, we've got your back. It's okay. You don't have to learn the whole legal system and you don't have to learn how to organize events. And like, you don't have to do all that stuff, because we've got that and we're going to do that for you. And we're going to make sure that you're okay. And we're going to take care of you. And that's the heart of hospitality. And we do that every single day for our guests, that it's nice that someone can do it for the queer community as well.
Well, Alex, it's always such a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for coming on the podcast, for sharing all of this with us. Happy Pride. And I hope to cross paths with you sometime this summer.
Thank you so much.
You can find Alex on Instagram at @A_Negroni. Just follow the link in this episode's notes to get there. And that's it for this episode. You can find plenty of stories and recipes on our website at imbibemagazine.com. Be sure to subscribe to the Radio Imbibe podcast to keep up with all of our future episodes. We've got your day-to-day social media needs covered on Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, and Facebook. And if you're not already a subscriber to the print and or digital issues of Imbibe, then let's make that your summer project. Just follow the link in this episode's notes, and we'll be happy to have you as part of the team. I'm Paul Clark. This is Radio Imbibe. Catch you next time.